We're also starting a new message series entitled Love Boat. Raise your hand if you remember the Love Boat. Yeah, loved it. It's kind of cheesy. I've tried to watch it every now and then, but I thought, man, that is so 70s cheesy. But we bought into it back in the day. We bought into it. And our goal over the next several weeks is to keep you on the Love Boat when it comes to relationships, particularly marriage, because if you're single in here, I will tell you to take copious notes. If you're single again, take very good notes. If you're 50 years old in your marriage and you think you got it all together, hey, so that's great. I'm honored that you're here, but take notes so you can mentor someone else, because if there's ever a message I believe that our nation, our world needs, is how to manage life when it comes to our marriage. And our goal is to keep you on the Love Boat and not get you to switch to the Titanic, all right? Because we all watch Titanic. We know what happens at the end of the movie, all right? We all know what happens. It hits the iceberg and it sinks. It's terrible, all right? Anyway, the title of today's message, and we tried to figure out a different way to say it, but this is what we settled on, and it's straight to the point. It's very applicable for those who are married in here, and this is it. My spouse is not my enemy. If your spouse is sitting next to you, I want you to turn to them and tell them, you are not my enemy, all right? And say it with a godly attitude if you can, all right? Here's five weird things all couples fight about. Five weird things all couples fight about. The first one is, do we cuddle or do we not cuddle? Now, Stacy and I, we are not cuddlers. We lay in bed. We have an invisible line right down the center of our mattress. If she crosses it, she has consequences. If I cross it, there's consequences. We say goodnight. She reads. I read. Boom. We're done. It's over. See you in the morning. No cuddling. Nothing like that, you know. Some of y'all like to cuddle, and that's good. Here's another weird thing couples fight over is how to fold the clothes. Do you fold the towels halfway or are they trifold, you know? Well, you have to fold them trifold because that's what my mom did. So you got to fold them trifold, you know? Or what temperature a space should be. A lot of couples fight about that. Here's one, what to watch on TV. LSU football or Cupcake Wars? I mean, the choice is obvious, Cupcake Wars, you know? I mean, come on. This is one that has caused tension in my marriage, how to arrange the dishes in the dishwasher. Come on, raise your hand if you're a dishwasher Nazi. I mean, come on. What good is it if you put them in there, we put it on for an hour and a half, and they still are dirty? What good is it? I mean, GE spent a lot of money with engineers to design it in a certain way where you put the plates in and the bowls and the cups and the forks in a certain way. It's not my problem, it's Stacy's. But anyway, it does bother me. But you probably didn't start your marriage out fighting about those things. Because the first stage of marriage is honeymoon. Hee-hee! I mean, sparks are flying. Every store you go into seems to be playing love songs from the 80s. It is on like hot buttered popcorn. I mean, it's awesome. Just in love. Blinded by love. Stacy and I look back. I found one of our wedding albums a couple weeks ago. Of course, we took it out and just so ashamed of our life. Oh my, look at that. You know, I can't believe that. There's one particular picture that showed our first rental house. It wasn't a house. In fact, it was the upstairs of this barn. On the first story was a family who lived in it. On the second story was a one-bedroom. It was a living room / kitchen all together. And it was about 350 square foot. You literally had to go outside to scratch your backside. It was so small, all right? But we were madly in love. We had no idea how poor we were. I found a picture, and it showed my bar stool that I was sitting on to eat dinner. It was two milk carton crates stacked on top of each other with a Baton Rouge phone book on top so it could get me up to the bar. I mean, that's poor right there, all right? But we had no idea because we were madly in love. It was us against the world, and we were about to conquer the world. Then the reality stage of marriage kicks in, where the tones of I love you turn to I really want to defeat you now. The love songs turn, and it's oh, you don't know about me, to the left. I mean, you start singing all these songs, and it's not let's get it on, but it's crazy songs. And it just begins to switch from the us against the world to us against each other. We start asking those questions, who in the world did I marry? He's a monster. He's so insensitive. Who did I marry? She's a drama queen. She's so sensitive. I mean, just how did I get myself into this? And the things you thought were cute now just aggravate the tar out of you. That just makes me mad when you do that little thing. Well, I thought you loved it. Nope, not anymore. And we fight for our causes. We want vindication, even if it's all about how the dishes are loaded in the dishwasher. Interesting how the tables turn. And that's where, unfortunately, many marriages end right there. Well, we're just different. We just don't see eye to eye. We can't figure it out. Now, our goal as a church is to help marriages, to help those who are wanting to be married again. Maybe if you're single, you've never been married, we want to help you with premarital counseling in your future marriage. We want to help you in your current marriage. We believe the best marriage that you have is the one you're currently in. And God can heal anything, okay? Now, we're not going to solve all your marriage problems. We would encourage you to go to professional counseling. We have that. In fact, we'll pay for some if you need it. We believe in the power of that. But one thing we do know, if you begin to understand that your spouse is not your enemy, then you'll be headed in the right direction. And oh, how quickly we can fall down that slippery slope, thinking that the person that I said I do to, that I love, and I would give up my life for now, oh, they're my enemy. Now, we do have an enemy, and his name is Satan. Believe it or not, we have a spiritual enemy. And the fact that you may not believe we have one does not change the fact that you have an enemy, all right? And the Bible gives us several scriptures from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament that tells us his job description. John 10, verse 10, it says this about our enemy. It says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to destroy and kill anything that is close to your heart, your marriage, and your most important relationships. I was dealing with a couple one time when it came to marriage, and you can tell they were just fighting against each other. They thought each other was their enemies, and they came in my office, and they were just incredibly aggravated. And I began to explain to them that they were not put together so they can beat each other up. She's not your enemy. He's not your enemy. Well, PC, you don't know him. Now, I'm not saying when there's abuse, I'm not saying when there's legitimate issues, I'm talking about two couples going in one direction, okay? And this lady said, look, he may not be Satan himself, but I promise you he's a spawn, all right? So, well, look, we need to re-educate you because that's wrong thinking. That's the wrong pattern. That is not healthy to a marriage. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies. The evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. So if you are a Christ follower, a believer, you've given your heart to Jesus, you don't have to be worried about Satan, okay? Unless you open the door and through foolish decisions and so forth, all right? But as Christians, you have been given authority over all the power of the enemy, amen? And that's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. I have given you authority. And if there's ever a place where we need to exercise our God-given authority, is in the holiness of our marriages, and begin to walk in the power that God has given us in our marriage. He's given us this authority. He said he's given us this authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. However, there's another passage of scripture that I want to tag on this as our foundation. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant. The way I interpret that when it comes to marriage is make sure you're fighting the right fight. I think we can spend a lot of energy on fighting the wrong fight. Be sober. Be vigilant. Don't get lazy and allow unhealthy patterns in your marriage to destroy your marriage. Instead, be sober and remember your real enemy. Your real enemy. I was on a team several years ago, and we were doing some things in an organization, and there was one guy that was really working behind the scenes to try to get everyone against one another. And I could see it playing out how he would go to one group and say, hey, this is what's going on over there. And then he'd come to that group and say, hey, this is what they're doing over there. They're saying this about you. And he was trying to work behind the scenes to get us to fight against each other. And I decided I wasn't going to play that game. I'm not playing that game. And this is happening all the time in marriage. And though I believe one of the best ways for you to decide not to play the game is realize that my spouse is not my enemy. Now, this morning when I was leaving the house to come here for the 8:30 service, my wife from the bedroom or from the our bathroom, she said, hey, your hair looks like Patrick Swayze today. All right, well, I know my wife is not my enemy. So I said, well, in what movie, Roadhouse or Dirty Dancing, because that means a lot to me, you know. I want Dirty Dancing, you know. I also want to look like Patrick Swayze in Dirty Dancing, you know. At least she didn't say Patrick from SpongeBob, you know what I mean? But I knew where that comment was coming from, and she did it to affirm me. And that's what we have to learn how to do. Let me give you four points, if you will, of affirmation that will let your spouse know that you are not the devil himself, all right? Number one, I am your biggest fan. I am your biggest fan. Now, some of us think that the moment we say I do, we become their biggest critic and begin to be used by God to point out all your flaws. You know, we'd be much better if you. Now, that might be truthful, but we both have a part to play in it. God has not called me to point out my wife's faults. I mean, life is hard as it is. We wake up every day with a new set of challenges and the challenges from the day before. We get judged. We get served injustice. It's just discouragement after discouragement. Why do I want to make it any harder for my spouse by making poor decisions or by making it hard on her? Being critical. You know, I have found that we go through seasons in life. In marriage, there are seasons. One season, God may be doing something specifically in me. And what I need more than anything else is for my wife to be my cheerleader. Not my critic, but my cheerleader. And my biggest motivator. And there's some times in Stacy's life where I realize, you know what? I got it, baby. You go on. Go read the Bible, go do whatever you want, go watch a movie. We got it, you know. There's seasons in her life where she needs me to encourage her. And there was one particular time where Stacy was walking through something, and it was pretty difficult, and I was fussing about something of no value. It just really kind of aggravated me, and you know, I was being entitled. That doesn't work that well in marriage, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, well, you can fight the wrong fight, or you can maybe do the right thing and understand that this is a season where you just have to be the encourager. And just trust that I'm going to get you through this. Take your needs and your wants and selfish desires and put them to the side. Just say, hey, I got you on this one. I got you. We're going to make it through. Because I'm right here for you. I'm right here for you. When I said I do to Stacy a little more than 24 years ago, I was saying I do to fulfilling or partnering with the Holy Spirit to help her fulfill her calling and gifts in her life. And one of the best ways I can do that is to affirm to her that I am her biggest fan. Because I know that when she wins, I win. When she wins, I win, my kids win. When she wins, I win, my kids win, this church wins. And I want to be on a winning team. That's why I encourage you today to go and find you a life group. Get on a team today. The chances of you winning in life dramatically go up when you have others in your life, because God designed you with community, a need for community. Get in a life group. We also need to affirm to one another that I am loyal to you. I am loyal to you. Now, I would encourage you to take any definition of loyalty, maybe from your past, and flush it away, and let's get a new biblical definition of what loyalty is. Loyalty is being faithful, being allegiant, believing in you, devoted to you, steady to you, on your side, and trustworthy in the good days and the bad days. I'm loyal to you. Very loyal. We had a friend of ours, and their daughter was a cheerleader, and their high school was playing the rival high school the following week, and she knew someone on the team. And at practice one day, they were practicing cheer, you know, she saw an offensive playbook. She thought, So here she is, not being too loyal. She took pictures of the offensive plays and sent them to her boyfriend on the rival football team. Now, it's safe to say they probably did very good that night. Well, they did. I mean, she was very loyal to her team. And for your team to win, you're going to have to be extremely loyal. That's where we're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Help me be loyal in my actions. Let my speech and my actions line up. When I'm with you, when I'm not with you, I am loyal to you. I'm not out there throwing Stacy under the bus and telling everybody, can you believe she did this? No. I refuse to do that. Why? Because I'm loyal to her. I am loyal to her. If someone else is more loyal to Stacy than I am, then our team is fragile and we are not going to win. We've got to be loyal. Affirm loyalty. Then also you'll want to affirm that I am not keeping score. Whoo, this is a big one. I'm not keeping score because you're not my enemy. We are not two opposing teams going head to head. So why should I keep score? Why should I hold grudges? And it's so easy to fall into this trap. We get upset. We feel entitled. We had a bad day at work. We have these expectations. Those expectations don't get met. So we get angry when we have unmet expectations. We get mad. We begin to keep score. You didn't do this. Didn't do that. I was dealing with a couple one time, and I was so glad they were in my office. Tells me that they're willing to make some better decisions to make their marriage better. And just asking these questions and trying to figure out where they were and where do we go from here. And it was obvious to me that they were keeping score. So I asked the other question, well, tell me all the good things that your husband does. She could not tell me one of them. So you're telling me he can't do one thing right. Really, she was afraid to honor him and say he did things good because he wouldn't change the bad things, so she thought. And I asked him, what are the good things, the qualities about your wife? He couldn't think of one. They were so tied into fighting the wrong fight, keeping the wrong score, holding grudges. I'm so grateful that Stacy doesn't keep score. It doesn't mean she just forgets about every wrong I do, but she allows the Holy Spirit to help her. Now, once again, I'm not saying things that are highly abusive or against the law, but she doesn't hold grudges. And early in our marriage, we made a decision that we were going to, the scripture says, don't allow the sun to go down on your wrath. And I remember early on in our marriage, how that applied to us as a young couple was we are not going to sleep if either one of us have an issue that's undealt with. So if we had a knockdown drag out at lunch and she went on her way and I went on her way, our policy was we are not going to sleep until we come up with a solution or resolution for the fight or the issue. We're going to talk it out. Now, this was hard for me, extremely hard, because this is not the pattern that I learned growing up. We did not talk about internal issues. There was a lot of activity in my family, a lot of love in my family. But at the end of the day, we didn't sit down and go, okay, how did this make you feel when I said you were a loser? or I marginalized you and I belittled you. How did that make you feel? Well, it made me feel like this. Well, I am sorry. That's not the intent of my heart. I am not your enemy. That was not shown to me. So Stacy and I, we had to learn how to communicate with one another and how to talk it out. And you know what this did? It helped us not keep score. Because when we went to sleep, it was over. We put it in God's hands. Now, if it was a problem big and it had consequences, of course there were consequences, but you understand my heart here. And I would encourage you in any relationship, do whatever you can. As much as it's up to you, live at peace. Do whatever you can to settle the issue. Don't keep score. Don't keep score. Jesus didn't keep score. In a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus to right all your wrongs. It's called salvation. I'm extremely grateful that Jesus does not count my sins against me. And lastly, we're going to affirm that we appreciate our differences. I appreciate your differences because you are not the enemy. You're not the enemy. See, I truly believe God gave me Stacy for a reason. And men and women are not created the same. One is not better than the other. We're just different. Whenever a young couple tells me, or maybe single agains who get together and they say, oh, we're just so much alike, I'm like, press pause. Don't get married if you're the same person, all right? Because, I mean, that really is not the case. All y'all have done is just talk about the things y'all have in common. That's it. And skirted all the other issues, all right? No, we're totally two different people. We think differently. We came from different backgrounds in how you process things. And I had to see that my wife's differences, they actually make me better. When I get over the point of them aggravating me. And if you feel like you always have to have your way, this one's going to be really hard for you. Because that theory does not work that well in marriage. The reality is her differences, they have added so much value to me, and I've added so much value to her. You know, it does not take someone to realize how better of a communicator Stacy is than I am. I mean, by far. We're two different levels. I mean, she's an amazing communicator. And I remember early on in our marriage, you know, hey, let's talk. You know, let's talk. And I'm like, God, we just got finished talking like 3 minutes ago, you know. You had my attention for about 30 seconds, you know. Talk, I mean, girl could talk the ears off a billy goat. She wants to talk so much. And it's talk. You know, and what she was helping me do was become a better communicator. And I had to honor and value her difference. If I would have stiff-armed her difference in being a communicator, then I would not be where I am today. Because she added so much value in me, and I've learned how to communicate better. In addition to that, she's taught me so much patience when it comes to communicating and listening. So thankful for that. I used to think she was trying to hold me hostage. You're just trying to keep me from watching ESPN. You're just jealous of ESPN, aren't you? No. No, not at all. Not at all. Now, when it comes to loading the dishwasher, I'm the man, all right? Don't you forget that, all right? Communication, Stacy, loading dishwasher, all right? I didn't bring that much to the table, but what I do bring to the table, I do really well, all right? I heard her in the kitchen a couple weeks ago. She was loading up the dishwasher. And before I even thought what I was doing, I was walking through the kitchen, inspecting. And of course, she sensed my poor attitude, my nose looking down on her because she's a poor dishwasher loader, you know. She goes, what? Whoa. I said, oh, I'm just making sure you're doing it right. That was not what I needed to say. But I didn't want to throw a cold blanket on the situation. I wanted to throw fire, gas. And I threw a lot of gas on that fire, all right? She goes, well, then fine, then you do it. No. You're getting better. You got it. But once she got over her aggravation, she was thankful for me. Thank you for teaching me how to load the dishwasher. If it had not been for you, I don't know where our dishes would be. Thank you. Look, the bottom line is if we fail to understand each other's differences, the ending's going to be tragic. And it doesn't have to be like that. It really doesn't. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit coming alongside us and helping us in our differences and with the things that aggravate us and allowing us to figure out what needs to take place. We are not on opposing teams. I understand that. My wife is not against me. And oh, how quickly, for some reason, I can think that she is. And that's not the case. God is not against you. If God be for me, then who can be against me? You bow your heads with me. Jesus, he came and suffered the cross so that you and I today could have our sins forgiven. And it's not just the saying of a prayer. It's literally spiritually taking place where he, how the Bible describes it, takes my sins and throws them as far as the east is to the west. He blots them out. Never again to be heard of. That's better than we could ever imagine. Right there where you're sitting, I believe there's a few of you in here that need to give your heart to Jesus, that need Jesus to forgive you of your sins, to take your sins and throw them as far as the east is to the west. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I think there's probably at least 10 people in this room that will say, Pastor Casey, that's my response today. That's my response. I need to know the forgiveness of my sins. There's so much guilt and condemnation associated with this. See, the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you shall be saved. It's not joining a church. It's not signing a piece of paper. It's something spiritually that takes place in your heart when you confess. So let's do this. Everyone around the room, I want you to make this your prayer out loud. Say these words with me. Say, Jesus Christ, I ask you to change my life. Forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. I proclaim you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Not taking score. Thank you. I'm so grateful for that. If you keep your head bowed and your eyes closed, here at Key Point Church, we respond to what we believe the Lord is saying to us. And I would encourage you right now in the safety of this room, respond. If that was your prayer and you responded to that salvation prayer and you prayed it, I want you to do one thing for me. In a moment, Pastor will come on the stage and he'll facilitate the rest of the service. And we have so much in store for you as a new believer, as a Christ follower, fresh starts and starting point to learn the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. But right now, I want you to say, that was me. I believed in my heart. I prayed that prayer, and I'm going to confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Right there where you're sitting, I want you to raise your hand and say, that was me. Come on, raise your hand around the room. Yeah, thank you, thank you. Come on, raise your hand. Maybe you were invited by a friend. It doesn't matter. Jesus hears your prayer. He heard your prayer. Anyone else, raise your hand. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Wow. Anyone else? Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Wow. These 12, 13 people raise their hands. Anyone else? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for saving people today, letting them know that their sins are forgiven. Thank you. Anyone else before we move on? Okay. Just keep your head bowed and keep your eyes closed. I want to pray this prayer, and as I pray it, I want you to agree with me in your mind and in your heart with what you believe the Holy Spirit is doing. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, as your word went out today, I thank you that it showed me that I have a real enemy. And Lord, let me accept that. Let me realize that. It's nothing to be afraid of because, Lord, I can walk in the authority that you've given me. And Lord, I pray that you begin to help us You train our hands to war, to be the Christ followers that we need to be, to walk in your authority and overcome. In our marriage, with our children, in our relationships, Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, as we learn how to affirm, as we learn how to cheer on and motivate, as we learn how to throw away the scorecards and be loyal, Lord, I thank you for just an amazing level of loyalty rising up within us right now. Maybe that's what you need to be praying for. Lord, I ask you to make me faithful, make me consistent, make me steady, make me allegiant to my spouse. When my mind is telling me otherwise, Lord, thank you for helping me to be there in season and out of season, on the good days and the bad days. I want to be loyal. I want to be loyal. Lord, thank you. Thank you for that, Father. Lord, we're so grateful for you. Thank you for your mercy and your grace today. We thank you that you first affirmed us before we even loved you back. And for that, we are so grateful. Lord, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. And Lord, we say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, Key Point Church, put your hands together right now for Jesus. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus.